Welcome to Harlow on Healthcare. I'm David Harlow, and I invite you to join me by my virtual hearth as I sit down with healthcare leaders to discuss building the future of healthcare. Today, my guest is Jennifer Esposito, Vice President and General Manager for Health at Magic Leap. Welcome, Jennifer, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
So to begin, Jennifer, could you give us a brief introduction to Magic Leap, to the problems that you're solving, and to the partnerships that you're entering into to solve these problems in the healthcare space in particular?
Sure. So Magic Leap is a startup company that is focused on what we call spatial computing. And just to give you a brief overview of what that is, it's, you know, we consider it essentially a new form of computing that's bringing together computer vision and AI to integrate the virtual world with the physical world around us. And so for healthcare, and even broader than healthcare in terms of the health and fitness and well-being sort of market, there's lots of opportunity to leverage spatial computing to increase access to care, to transform how people visualize complex data and images, how people conduct training, and, you know, also how we can think about new ways in which to deliver care in a digital way.
Is this something different from, or is this another term that you use for what other folks may call augmented reality? Or is this something beyond that?
Yeah, I mean, we like to make a distinction. So I usually actually start off most of these conversations talking about the difference between VR, AR, and spatial computing. So okay. In VR, it's a completely immersive environment. So the digital environment is isolating you from the real world or the physical world. In augmented reality, what we like to think about is digital content that is layered on top of the physical world. So think about maybe using your phone or a tablet to look at digital content on top of a physical environment where you don't necessarily take into account what's physically there. In spatial computing, the digital content is actually potentially interacting with the physical world. It's aware, it can be persistent. And so that's kind of the distinction that we like to make between those three technology parameters.
Okay, thank you. So we're talking about spatial computing, and you were starting to talk about integrations or collaborations.
Yeah, so we've been working on a variety of different things probably over the last 2 to 3 years. And so the first area where we've been focused is in the hospital. And so if you want to think about, the term digital hospital or digital operating room has been around for a number of years. So in the hospital setting and in surgery in particular, we have been collaborating with Brainlab on ways that we can leverage spatial computing in the operating room, first to do things like surgical planning. So taking 2D images on the Brainlab surgical planning workstation and bringing them into 3D spatial so that doctors can plan for surgery ahead of time in an environment where they can make the images as big as they want, they can look at different layers, they can collaborate with other specialists in the same environment and visualize the same content together. And then as you move forward into the future, there's lots of really interesting ways that you can think about tracking objects, instruments, and other things that exist in an operating room in a digital way, and maybe even thinking about how you could control those things, leveraging a device like the Magic Leap device. And certainly longer term, thinking about how you can actually take those digital images and overlay it on top of physical anatomy as you're actually looking at surgery or other procedures that you might be doing. So hospital is one area.
The device, Jennifer, is, mm-hmm. I mean, I think of this as a, generically speaking, a wearable computing platform. Does that mean goggles, a visor? How does somebody experience this?
Oh, so the Magic Leap One device is a set of goggles. So if you think about virtual reality goggles or augmented reality goggles, this is a set of spatial computing goggles. And it incorporates the goggles and what we call a light pack, which is essentially where all of the compute and the processing happens, and a control. And then there's the control is one mechanism by which you can interact with the content, but there are other mechanisms, including you know, gesture and voice as ways to interact with the digital content itself.
Great. So for the surgical planning that you were describing, I mean, I've seen people using or talking about using 3D printed models of tumors, mm-hmm. for example, or organs to think about, you know, planning a surgical approach. But being able to interact and peel away a layer mm-hmm. through the technology you're describing seems like a quite a useful step beyond that.
Yeah, exactly. You can actually step into it and make it big enough that you can actually look around. So it really presents some really interesting opportunities to view very complex anatomy, complex images, especially, you know, things like 3D printing is really important today because it helps people really understand some of the things that they might not necessarily be able to visualize on a 2D image.
Okay. So we were talking about sort of a surgical suite application and other applications or other partnerships that you're working on?
Yeah, I mean, we've been working on a variety of different types of partnerships. So let's talk a little bit about things that are more focused on different ways to deliver education and training. So one of the projects that we've supported is with Stanford at the Lucile Packard Children's Hospital. And Stanford has done a really amazing job starting to prototype simulation applications. And so if you think about being able to do a simulated session where, you know, in one example, you can visualize or create a digital hospital bed or digital, you know, hospital table with a patient on it. And you can, as a crew of people, practice how to respond to a code or some other emergency situation with the patient. You know, this really presents interesting opportunities because you're not anchored to a very specific physical location, you don't need props and other things in this sort of implementation. You can actually bring that kind of training anywhere. And so I think it really opens up the opportunity, you know, maybe in places where they don't necessarily have either the real estate or the ability to implement a complicated simulation suite or other sort of training environment. You can actually use the prototype they've built with at Stanford and the device to kind of take that wherever you go. So I think that's an interesting way to think about how you can bring training into a different environment and make it much more portable, not really restricted to geography, and then also bring in people from other locations to work on that training together to collaborate in the digital environment.
And patients adapt to that reasonably well? I mean, I can understand sort of a surgeon who may be used to using certain high-tech tools could figure out and adapt to using this as a planning tool. Kids are maybe plastic or elastic enough to be able to do that as well. But other kinds of patients, do you see that as a barrier in any way?
Well, you know, the example I was talking about at Stanford is focused on clinicians or clinical workers or med students. Another example that kind of gets to your question is work that we've done with the Dan Marino Foundation. And in that case, USC and Dan Marino worked on a tool that uses the Magic Leap device and spatial computing to help young adults on the autism spectrum practice for job interviews, essentially. And in this case, we've seen lots of really great stories coming out of the Dan Marino Foundation where the students are adapting really well to the digital environment, and in some cases they actually prefer it. And so I think it's a really interesting use case, and there's a lot of different things that we can think about building off of that. So this workforce interview tool basically allows the student to sit with an avatar that's generated in the device, and the avatar interacts with them. And, you know, you can imagine, you know, future iterations of this solution that would take even more realistic avatars, even, you know, concepts of things like digital humans that are driven by AI, so that you really have a give and take and can practice as much as you want. You can adapt to different sort of scenarios. And again, it brings in this portability factor where you can really kind of conduct this wherever you are in an environment that makes the most sense.
And are there patient applications that you're looking at that would involve a patient using this at home, for example?
Well, that's definitely, you know, one area that's very interesting to us. I think the area of telehealth in general and thinking about how you can shift care, you know, outside of the hospital, either into a clinic or into a home scenario, and using the device for that sort of two-way communication. But some of the other interesting things that we're doing with the device that are also related to this is looking at the different biomarkers that are already on board the device. So there's sensors on the device that are used for a variety of different purposes in the consumer use cases that are out there. So some work we're doing right now, for example, with SyncThink is looking at the eye tracking capability on the device to, basically to measure and to conduct a test around detecting concussions. And so that's one example where you can think about, here's a biomarker that we can use that actually can create a new type of clinical test, for example, using those eye tracking capabilities. And then if you look at what SyncThink is trying to do, they're trying to really, match that up to the current types of tests that are out there and compare. And then longer term, you know, there's the ability not just to use those biomarkers for detection, but it can be used for ongoing monitoring or even, for management of conditions over time.
Do you see new potential uses or markets on the horizon? Where do you think sort of the highest and best use cases for these devices might lie?
Well, you know, as a team, we are we're really excited because there are so many use cases, and you know, I think I kind of alluded to this at the beginning that there's a few, you know, big buckets of use cases that I like to think about, right? Things like training, education, simulation. Another one is just how do you take all of the complex data that exists in healthcare today? Maybe it's in digital form already. Maybe it's images. There's lots of data already available in healthcare today where there's a lot of opportunity both to visualize the data in 3D and spatial in new ways that makes it easier for people to understand. But there's also ways you can think about how do you integrate that data in different ways so that you gain new types of insights. Certainly, the hospital is very interesting, you know, not just because it's an extremely complex environment, but there's also complex workflows and the ability to augment the clinical workforce with additional information to really bring in another level of collaboration and co-presence so that people have access to specialists in different ways, regardless of where they're physically located. And then I think things like telehealth, where you're starting to talk about some of the use cases that involve patients having access to a device and using them for a variety of different things. And again, that's another opportunity to think about expanding access to care, expanding access to clinical workers.
If you're just tuning in, this is Harlow on Healthcare, coming to you on Healthcare Now Radio. I'm David Harlow, and my guest today is Jennifer Esposito, Vice President and General Manager for Health at Magic Leap. I'm wondering if you can sort of, you know, see a little bit into the future, into the sort of future state and future applications. How do you think that healthcare companies and providers other than hospitals might be interested in partnering with you in the future?
So one of the things that we're doing is we're very much focused on helping, number one, build awareness of the technology and some of the potential use cases. But also as a team, what we're trying to do is build a development framework that will make it easier for a lot of the existing players in the ecosystem to build on top of the platform. So this is, you know, what I'm talking about is somewhat of a software development kit or an SDK. It's also a toolkit with different modules. And so our goal as an organization is really to make it easier and to give people the ability, you know, whether it's through training and boot camps, early access programs for some of our software, and then this toolkit that I was talking about, really to really expand the and maybe sort of increase the speed at which people take on using the technology for some of these use cases.
Right. So it becomes a platform and other people can build stuff that plugs in, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. And then, you know, with that ability, I think comes some of the discussion around how you could potentially integrate some of those things. So if you think about an operating room, if people are leveraging a platform that takes different instruments, different tools, maybe some of the devices and some of the data feeds, it opens up new opportunities to build even you know, potentially, you know, new solutions on top of all of that.
Right. And hopefully something that we haven't even imagined, right?
Exactly.
I'm interested in sort of the trajectory that's brought the company to this point. I mean, how long does it take to go through all the development stages for something like this? We're talking about technical development, but then we're talking about things like working on user interfaces, usability, mm-hmm. ensuring that this is something that could be adopted easily by whether it's by clinicians or patients mm-hmm. or whomever. So take me back a little ways in the history of the company, and what's it taken to bring you to this point?
Well, you know, I'll even start at the beginning. So our founder and CEO, Roni Abovitz, actually comes from a med device background. And so there's lots of that inherent DNA and interest in healthcare as an industry throughout the company. And so there have been people working on this for some time. And what we're trying to do is work very closely with all of the different teams here at the company to bring some of these ideas forward, make some of these use cases possible. But healthcare is interesting too, because you do need to go through processes around, you know, clinical validation and, you know, everything you said around understanding the unique needs of the users and what the user experience should look like. So we've done lots of research to really understand those things. We also have a pretty robust clinical advisory board that we've been using to help us really, you know, number one, discuss potential ideas, but also understand from people who are passionate about the technology already about how they envision using spatial computing in their day-to-day life as well.
So in terms of other competing platforms out there, I'm wondering, do you see like Microsoft HoloLens as a competitor or in the same zip code, or how do you view that product or other products that might be out there?
Well, there's a few different products out there. I think from my perspective, you know, our interest is really in about sort of elevating the use of this kind of technology regardless. And so it's really exciting to see other technology companies working in this space and really kind of bringing forth a lot of the use cases. So, you know, from my perspective, it's all good. I think it's really about building that awareness in the industry because it is new. And, you know, like I said, there's also this almost endless list of use cases. And so the more we can all do to educate the environment and make people aware of the technology is a great thing that will help, I think, you know, improve healthcare overall.
And so are there other particular things that you're doing to get the good word out?
Well, you know, we're trying to be, you know, visible in the ecosystem. We're talking to lots of people out there, you know, both end users, so people who, you know, work in the clinical space, who work in all of these types of environments to better understand their needs. We engage very much with our clinical advisory board, and we're just trying to get the word out. I mean, we did publish a blog a couple weeks ago that talks a little bit about some of the things that we're currently working on and some of the collaborations and some of the early development that we're seeing out there. And you can definitely expect to see more of that kind of thing coming from us as we go forward.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other sort of particular verticals within healthcare that you see as particular opportunities, or you feel like you're leaving this open to other developers?
Well, you know, I think when I think of the sub-segments in healthcare, you know, hospital is one segment that we look at, or this is like sort of how we would define the segments, right? Hospital, clinics, home health, or virtual care of some sort. And then there's definitely a segment that we look at around pharmaceuticals, whether it's looking at, you know, even methods around manufacturing and how you can facilitate that. And then I think the other very big segment I would sort of outline is the one that's around training and simulation and data visualization in and of itself. But I think underlying all of that are some really, you know, very short-term use cases and focus areas that are very much around operational efficiency. So even things like helping to facilitate communication and collaboration, how people hold meetings, how people look at their data, those are all very interesting. And I think that, you know, when I used to talk about AI a lot last year when I would work for Intel, we would always talk about the fact that some of these operational use cases, while they aren't necessarily as exciting, can actually still have a pretty big impact in healthcare. Because if you can make processes more efficient or more consistent, you know, make the experience for both the physicians and the patients better in terms of how they're engaging with their administrative systems, I think those are all things that are still very important to do and generally can be done more quickly in the short term.
Great. So if you were to wake up tomorrow and find yourself 5 years in the future, what is one thing in healthcare that you would hope or expect to find has changed drastically?
Hmm. Yeah, great question. So I think that I would love to see a point where a lot of care has shifted outside of the hospital into, you know, I don't know if it's the community or the home, but I like to think of it as patient as point of care, right? Wherever the patient feels more comfortable and more likely to engage with their healthcare. And so, you know, that's why I think this technology is really interesting, because it facilitates the ability for people potentially to have care delivered wherever they're at, to have their data wherever they're at, and to be able to visualize it and engage with the clinical workforce. And so it's a very interesting way to think about how do you expand access to care? How do you, you know, manage the situation where we do have shortages of physicians, of specialists, and other health workers? So that's how I would look at it.
Right. And those shortages are only going to get worse as time marches on.
Mm-hmm.
I like that idea of a patient as the point of care. Well, thank you. Thank you, Jennifer, for joining me.
Yeah, thank you.
It's been a pleasure to speak with you today. You have been listening to Harlow on Healthcare. Join us at healthcarenowradio.com. Let's continue the conversation on building the future of healthcare together at #HarlowOnHC. I'm David Harlow, keeping the fire going and holding a seat open for you. Until next time.